number 97. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, the science fiction, fantasy, and mythology podcast. This week we have a story within a story of the dangers of believing without questioning, and it's called The Kingdom of Lies. Sometime in the far future, there is a great bazaar that gathers the people of all regions to its stalls. Spices and coffee, flowing silks and precious metals, carved boxes and beautiful musical instruments all adorn the walls and the canopy, surrounded by a collision of sounds and fragrances that dance across the ancient market square. In a corner, shaded from the sun, sits a weary old man, Naji, resting his arms on the chair formed from the limbs of his weathered metal companion, Rafik. He found his way here many years ago, one of the last citizens of a now forgotten place, to ply his new trade as a storyteller. Before him sits a small audience, cross-legged on the dusty ground. Naji is well loved for his tales and wisdom, especially by the young folk, who listen with awe at his musings on magic and dragons, on metal monsters, and terrible tales of destruction. Today, I bring a story of a city that lies in the west. A magnificent, sprawling achievement, a vast island metropolis in the stormy lake systems of the continent of Eurasia. It is a tale of human weakness, the danger of hubris, and the seductions of power. "Excuse me, sir," a young voice rises. "With respect, how can you know of such things?" "Ah, my young friend, I learned a bitter lesson from the death of my family, my friends, and the home of my birth." The young man meant no offence, a woman mumbled. "No, indeed, and I have taken none, for I've learnt we must all speak up. We must listen to what we're being told is true, for that is the tragedy of the city that lies in the west. For it was, in fact, the city that lies, a hollow kingdom where none would seek to question the powerful." "Can it be real?" murmurs flickered across the audience like leaves in a breeze. "It was all too real, my friends. Both Rafik and I are two of only five survivors of a city that once counted 1 million people within its realm." Naji patted the hip of his metal companion, receiving a drowsy nod in response.
"So why have we not heard of it?"
"Because it fell victim to its own fabrications. It believed its own lies. Once upon a time, in spite of its stormy location, it was a fabled city, beautiful and industrious, a hub of trade and influence. It exchanged great ambassadors from around the world. It helped other cities in conflict, and of course, made its share of mistakes. In time, though, as more cities grew and people yearned to discover more distant lands, there fell upon the city a terrible affliction."
"You mean the lies, sir?"
"Well, everyone tells lies. Little white lies to spare people's feelings, lies of convenience so as not to cause offence, and lies, of course, to steal and cheat. There is a balance in life where the scales of good and bad intentions seem to measure out over time. In the case of that city, 1,000 years passed before the balance shifted."
"So that was the affliction?"
"Well, it was the point where lies and truth became the same. The entire city was infected, as it were, and found it could not tell one from the other. And leading busy lives, most people shrugged their shoulders and carried on."
"We don't have time to think these days," everyone laughed.
"Yes. Yes, tragically, no time to think. Soon the city became a kingdom of lies. It had elected a council and a leader, Almond, who started only with the little fabrications, as all politicians do when bending the truth for convenience. But all too often, the trappings of power bring a cunning for political survival, and over time, fewer and fewer people noticed that Almond valued his supporters more than the truth.
when a member of his council lied about gaining property illegally or used their position to influence decisions for their own benefit, there was no reprimand, no consequence. When climate experts warned about flood defences, they were dismissed, their evidence misplaced. But Alman was clever for himself and quietly dismantled all the instruments of Commonwealth and named himself King. But didn't people know? Oh yes, the street media, the networks, they all clamoured with criticism. But Alman was confident and popular. The people saw him as their champion, so they closed their eyes to any faults. He became more confident, dismissed all advisers who did not tell him what he wanted to be true. All so-called experts were replaced by those whose primary qualification was the support for Almond the Clever. His rallies were conventions for true believers, and whatever he said was repeated everywhere. When he said how many bridges he had built, when in fact he had pulled most of them down to use their raw materials, they believed him. And when he said the seasonal rains were getting shorter, when they were getting much worse, they, the true believers, and anyone who bothered to take notice, believed him. Alman the Clever appointed his own judges, his head of police and military, health and education. Those who agreed with him gained the best in all things. Those who did not were ignored. So in time, night became day. Lies became truth. Facts became debatable. Science and economics were withdrawn as respectable disciplines in the universities. The construction robots once seen on every street fell into disuse as the parts to maintain them could no longer be bought. And the lack of food in the shops was not to do with the destruction of the bridges, but simply a terrible conspiracy to remove Alman the Clever and his good works. Why didn't the rest of the people leave? With Alman's cronies in power at every level, just a hint of complaint would bring a midnight raid, prison, and a long wait for a trial that would never come. So it had gone too far. The audience was unsettled by Nagy's tale. So far that when the seasonal rains began just 50 years ago, the great storms brought such floods as never been seen. Alman the Clever assured everyone that no special action was necessary, that all was fine, that a great new era of prosperity awaited all who believed. But the rains still came, and the rivers rose. The lakes surrounding the kingdom of lies swelled, breaking into every street, pouring into the cellars, the prisons, engorging the drains, and soon the winds broke across the buildings, collapsing them into the waves. Where was Almond? He was spotted with his entourage, trying to leave in his own plane, but the storm was so strong the wings could not lift. So, it is said, he headed towards the last bridge and tried to force his way across. So did he flee with the people? Well, he tried. But the bridge collapsed under the weight of the thousands trying to leave. He died with them all. And the city? Drowned. Nothing left above the water. The audience allowed a silence to gather. So how did you escape? A voice at the back emerged. Well, I was trained as a weather scientist. I lost my job at the university, but I knew what was coming, so I left a month before. Did you try to rescue others? Oh, I did. Every day I would sit opposite the last bridge and send drones to my friends with messages about the weather, but very few read them. Eventually three did come and brought my friend Rafik here, but then the drones stopped returning. All was lost when the bridge collapsed. So the city that lies in the west is real? It lies under the water? Oh, it's not just history. It's a present danger, a threat. Truth is a difficult thing, often excruciating, rarely complete. But the gathering of evidence, the investigation of facts, the questioning of motives, these are true tests, proper tests for all of us, because lies are so easy to accept when told by the confident and powerful. So is that it? A small voice from earlier rose above the babble of the audience.
Just one thing. A question for us all. One we must ask ourselves from time to time. With so many things in the world beyond our control, do we too live in a kingdom of lies? I think that probably speaks for itself. Every form of government, from democratic to autocratic, religious, royal, and across every part of the world, from the ancient Egyptians, the Persians, the Romans, and through to the Middle Ages in the West, rulers of all civilizations have struggled with the contradictions of truth and power. Anyway, that's it for now. This is Jake Jackson. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.